verse 10 of Matthew 25. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. It does make us feel very foolish, doesn't it, being caught unprepared. We can feel terrible fools when that happens. I don't know if you know the story of Cecil B. DeMille, who was the great motion picture maker, and he was on location once in the desert making one of his epic movies, and he staged a great battle scene in this valley, and there were thousands of foot soldiers and hundreds of cavalry coming from all directions into this melee in the middle, and the cost and organisation of it was immense. And he didn't want to miss the scene, so he set up three cameras, one on a level with him at the bottom of the valley, one halfway up at the biggest hill, and one right at the top of that hill. And then the scene began, and the valley erupted into this carefully staged hostility, and after a few moments he shouted, cut, and he yelled to the man next to him, he said, did you get it? And the man said, look, I'm so sorry, Mr. DeMille, the camera's jammed. He yelled to the man, then halfway up the hill he said, did you get it? And the man nervously said, Mr. DeMille, I'm so sorry, but the tape broke. So by this time, absolutely panic-stricken, he grabbed a loud hailer and he shouted to the man right at the top of the hill. And remember, this is the Middle East, it was boiling hot, he'd been up there for many hours, the cameraman, and he shouted up, did you get it? And the man peered out from behind his camera with thick spectacles, raised a thumb and said, ready when you are, Mr. DeMille. And being too late is an agonizing thing, isn't it? It can be very embarrassing. And that was the tragedy of these foolish virgins. It wasn't that they didn't want to welcome the bridegroom. They thought they were waiting for that very purpose. So these people, this is the key, they are not opposers of Christ. They're not anti-Christian. In fact, if you look down verse 11, we read, later the others also came, sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. So they seem to have a feeling that they have a rightful place at the banquet. They seem to feel that they really should be there. They're waiting with the others for the Lord's return. And yet there's a distinction here in this passage in Matthew 25. The wise were ready on time. The foolish were too late. The wise had resources that endured the long waiting period. They had enough oil. And the foolish burned out before the bridegroom's arrival. And the oil here, therefore, what is the oil a symbol of? This is the key to the passage. The oil is a symbol of Christian perseverance. Perhaps some of you will know the chilling words of Jesus, of which I think this is a commentary, this passage. If we can just flick back to Matthew 24, verses 12 and 13, just over the page. Chilling words from Jesus Christ. And here we read, because of the increase of wickedness, Matthew 24, verse 12, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And those are very sobering, chilling words, aren't they? I think I find them as disturbing as any words in the New Testament. The love of most will grow cold. And what is a mark, therefore, of God's real people, the real people of God? A mark is that they persevere. Their lamps don't burn out. Even though the wait for Jesus is a long one, even though his coming seems delayed, and though there are many hardships that they have to endure, they persevere. You know, whenever I find myself on the sermon card, I always write off to other churches and find out what sermons have been preached. And I did that when the sermon card came out in August. I wrote off. And this is one of the sermons I got on this very passage. It's by a Christian minister. And since that time, here's the sermon he preached. Since that time, he has left his wife and three children, and he has left the ministry. And it was a haunting thing listening to him preach on this passage, knowing that he has not persevered. It was very chilling. It was incredibly chilling listening to him. So do you remember the story of Jesus and that Jesus told of the sower? Some seed springs up, but it is choked. Well, in a similar kind of way, these bridesmaids began the vigil. They started well, but they fail to last the course. Their oil ran out. So there's early enthusiasm. We see so many like that, don't we? Early enthusiasm, but it leads to later negligence. They did not plan ahead like the wise virgins. They were doing something else with their time. They were distracted. There were just lots of other things they perhaps wanted to do. So they did not go and buy the oil. They did not make plans to persevere. You see, this man here, there's much that's said about him, but this man here, I think more than anything, he had not made himself accountable to Christian friends. He just had refused to do that. So he was alone. And when the difficult issue came along, he tried to handle it on his own. He hadn't made plans to persevere despite being an extraordinarily gifted Christian communicator. And it's disastrous. And you see, there's no second chance here. Our oil is run out. And the unreadiness in verse 12, this is why it's such a hard passage. The unreadiness leads to separation, verse 12. I tell you the truth, I do not know you. This is then a very solemn warning about the importance of persevering in the Christian life. It's not enough, you see, to have decided for Christ. It's not enough to have been baptized. It's not enough to come from a Christian home. It's not enough, in fact, to have been a famous Christian preacher. It's not enough. The vital grounds of assurance here is that you and I are persevering. The mark of the wise is that they keep going, that they're not apathetic. So real faith is a faith that's at work. Real faith is a faith that is not apathetic. That is real faith. And if we look on in the next passage, you may want to look at this yourself, but Matthew 25, verses 14 and onwards, we see how real faith works itself out. It works itself out in Christian service. So they are faithfully then using whatever talents they have, be it one talent or two talents or five talents. Those talents are being put to work. So are you faithfully persevering with the gifts God has given you in his service? That's the great question. And what I mustn't do here is say, well, of course, because I haven't got that person's gifts, I'm not going to keep going. I mustn't be comparing. I've just got to be saying, okay, what does it mean for me to be faithful with my gifts? It's an extraordinary thing, you know, working on the same ministry team as John Stott. Because what you have to end up saying to yourself is, look, Rico, if you can have 0.01 of John Stott's ministry, you'll have a great ministry. I will. If I can have 0.01 of John Stott's ministry, I'll have a great ministry. So I've just got to be faithful with my gifts. You've got to be faithful with yours. My brother works very hard. He works for a chemical company. Every Friday night, he runs a youth club for, 15, 20 kids? Faithfully serving them. He's there every Friday, often when he's absolutely exhausted. But he's being faithful in what God has called him to do, which is into the lives of those kids. Are we being faithful with the talents we've got, be it 1, 2, 5, whatever? I mustn't look at someone else. I've just got to say, what does it mean for me? And there are three simple lessons here from the virgins. God will surprise, God will expose, and God will divide. So if you're taking notes, these are the headings. Three lessons. The first lesson is from verses 1 to 6. God will surprise. God will surprise us as the Lord Jesus comes back. God will surprise. The kingdom of heaven is to be compared to 10 virgins who take their lamps and go to meet the bridegroom. They're 5 foolish, they're 5 wise. The foolish take no oil to recharge their lamps. The wise take their flasks. Apparently not having a lamp here, apparently the commentaries say, not having a lamp here is rather like going to a black tie dinner without a DJ on, without your dinner jacket on. It just reveals you're a gate crasher or whatever. You're just not correctly attired. You have to have a burning lamp. So the bridegroom is delayed in verse 5, and they all slumber and sleep. And then in verse 6, he arrives, and the cry rings out, and they get up to meet him. Now, it's interesting, with these weddings, apparently they were 3 or 4 day affairs. And one of the things that made the wedding so exciting was the bridegroom could arrive at any time. So he arrives, and here's the issue. Please notice that all are surprised by the coming of the bridegroom. We will all be surprised by the coming of the Lord Jesus. Can we just look across the page there to verse 36 of chapter 24? Just flick across. No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven. We do not know when Jesus will return. So we see here that we will all be caught unawares by Christ's coming. So if you hear anyone announcing a date of his coming and his return, then they're being unscriptural. We will be caught by surprise. We'll all be asleep, and it will suddenly come upon us. So there are two warnings here. The first is, it will be delayed, his coming. And the second is, he comes when we will be asleep, so we'll be surprised. But the Bible is clear that God will begin, will end what he began. He started it and he will bring it to an end. So Christ will return. And what I have to try and get into my head, and I confess I find this remote, I'm sure you do too, but I have to get this into my head, that we do not know when he will return. So it could be this afternoon. It could be tomorrow. There is a real uncertainty here. The one thing we know is in 2 Peter 3 it will be like a burglar coming, so we must be ready. And he will come when you are not planning for it. And we will stand before the judgment of God, and we do not know when it will be. And that means the issue is this, that some things of great importance that I'm tempted to push into the pending tray in terms of my godly Christian living must be, where they can gather dust, must be dealt with. God is far greater than us. He's outside our knowledge. He's beyond our prediction. And he's promised he will surprise us. So if there is an issue that stops you persevering, it must be dealt with, because we do not know when he'll return. See, that was the issue with this dear man, who actually I owe a great deal to. He taught me so much, but who has not persevered. There was an issue that he would not deal with. And in the end, it destroyed his ministry. It's very chilling. Is there something, perhaps, that is in your pending tray, an issue that you are avoiding, that is not right before God? Well, the only way to be ready for that day is to be ready every day. Have you got that phrase? The only way to be ready on that day, on the day that Jesus comes, is to be ready every day. And that means I've got to get the issues in the pending tray sorted out now. And he'll come in the middle of our pursuits. He'll come at an hour when none of us expect it. And at that point, we will all break off our employment and we'll stand before the lawful King of the universe who gives us each breath. And we're subject to that summons. So be ready, like the good student who's always ready for the test. Be ready and sort out any issue that's in the pending tray. For this man is a far greater man than any of us, and he did not persevere or has not persevered. Get the pending tray clear. God will surprise us. He does not work to our schedules. We work to his, and we will conform to his timetable. So one, it will be a surprise. Do you see verse 6? At midnight, there was a cry, here is the bridegroom. Secondly, God will expose. God will expose. This unexpected coming of the bridegroom revealed what would otherwise have been concealed. So both sets of maidens had slept, but one set had taken their preparation far more seriously than the other. And now that fact is revealed. And they have no chance to borrow oil, verses 8 and 9, if we can look down. No chance to obtain it at the last moment. Verse 10, while they're on their way to buy oil, the door was shut. You know, there's a great emphasis on the door shutting in Scripture. Do you remember the ark? The ark, the door was shut. The moment of salvation had passed. So God, in his patience, waits day after day that people would repent. But there'll come a day when his patience ends and the door shuts. The door shuts. And it's a bit like going into an exam, isn't it? Do you remember going into the examining hall? And the trouble with being in exams is there's no presenting of someone else's work. There's no starting revision. And there's that awful moment. Do you remember the moment when the examiner says, will you now please turn the papers over? There is that moment when actually I am then judged by what I have done, and my heart is then being judged. And I find particularly there's some couples where perhaps there's one who's a deeply committed Christian, and the other one you sense is just looking to borrow oil, you know, letting that other person flourish and go on with Christian faith and saying that's fine. But actually their own persevering is perhaps pretty minimal. And we can think, because I've got believing friends or believing parents or a believing wife or a believing husband, that we will therefore be fine when we stand before him. But this tells me our hearts, our lives will be revealed, and God will seal the decisions of our lives at this point. He will seal whether we have been persevering. And at that point, our hearts and our decisions will be exposed. God will expose. It's a chilling thing, isn't it? So God will surprise us, God will expose, And thirdly and lastly, verses 10 to 12, God will divide. God will divide. But while they're on their way, verse 10, to buy all, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. So the unexpected coming, which reveals the secrets of men and women's hearts, will also make a separation. God will divide. You gate crash unless you have a burning torch. You have to have the perseverance. All 10 expected to be led into the feast, but 5 were shut out. And this is a warning to all that assume their future's assured. So this is the religious who says, perhaps my church going will get me in. Or the moral who says, well, my integrity will get me in. Or the person from a Christian home who says, my roots will get me in. But unless there is a real relationship with the bridegroom, do you see? I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Unless there's a real relationship of persevering faith with the bridegroom, a relationship that is active, then he will say, I don't know you. You see, it's like a good marriage. Sometimes we say of marriages, don't we? We sometimes say of a marriage, well, they're married just in name. It's just a marriage in name. Sometimes we say that. And it's true. You look and actually, that there is no real relationship with there. Real relationship between the people. And the question here is it real faith? Because real faith will show itself in persevering. That one is all out serving the Lord Jesus. That one is actually saying about the carol service next week, no, at the heart of holiness is seeking the lost. And I am surrounded by lost people, and therefore at the heart of being godly is that I seek the lost. God cared about them so much he sent his son to die. So will I seek them? You know, we find here, and sometimes it gets fed back, we find that sometimes there are people that are both Christians and they've sat opposite each other in an office for a year and neither of them knew the other was a Christian. Now, that's hopeless. That's hopeless. I mean, one cannot, if they don't know we're Christian, we cannot be seeking the lost. I'm sure that's not true of many of you. But are we going to seek the lost next week? That's at the heart of real faith. But I'm reaching out to these people so that they too would know of the Lord Jesus. So, and for these 5 foolish virgins, you see, it didn't matter enough to make the necessary preparation. Perhaps they were in love with a comfortable lifestyle. Perhaps that was it. I don't know. They just, while the others were persevering, they were doing other things. So God will surprise. It's very chilling, isn't it? God will expose. God will divide. And I have to tell you, having listened to this tape, I've never had to prepare a sermon that has been as chilling as this. It was so chilling hearing a man who has at present walked away and has not persevered, hearing a man preach on that very passage. Very chilling. And so the question is, am I persevering? Am I doing that? Am I ready to face God's return today? Or is there an issue in the pending tray that is stopping me? I mean, I'm pleading with you here. If there is an issue in the pending tray, and often the issue is a person. Often the issue is a person. It's often, isn't it? It's a person who is stopping me persevering. And the most loving thing I can do actually towards that person is to model the Lordship of Christ to them and to keep persevering. So don't let someone get in the way of me persevering. Don't let anything become so all-absorbing that I'm not persevering and have no oil. And let's remember these chilling words. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he or she who stands firm to the end will be saved. Let's take a great warning here that real faith is persevering faith. And let's be ready today, because that's the only way to be ready for the day. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask that you would help us to be those that have a persevering faith, to be wise. We pray you'd give us friends who we'd be able to tell the truth to about our lives so that they would be able to keep us persevering. We pray you'd keep us persevering in serving our churches, the ones that we come from, the places we come from, serving our families, serving the lost, Lord. We think of colleagues back at the workplace now. We pray you'd keep us persevering in serving them and seeking to be godly, and indeed perhaps in inviting them next week. But Father, we pray you'd keep us faithful, so that on that day we would not hear these words, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you," but instead we would hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, we pray that you'd help us to live authentic, persevering Christian lives. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.